Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon, or Mutilus on Discord.
This is Parker, go by One Who Parks on Discord.
This is Jeremy, I go by Just Jeremy, I play Web Warriors now, hashtag call 911.
And this is Aaron, I go by Treffenwit on Discord.
And welcome back for another riveting episode of The Infamous. Let's see here. Quick announcements, as always, links in the show notes. I don't think we've got any new news yet, have we, Parker?
No, I don't think so. I think it all quiet for now.
Alrighty. Alright, well, I guess we're just going to get right into it today. So, for currently playing, I have not played a lot of games lately, so I want to build a list for the upcoming Squad Goals tournament in Chicago. So I wanted us to talk about basically what my team is currently planning on playing, and then talk about what I should play to complement them, if that works with you guys.
Only if we get to talk about Jeremy playing Web Warriors after that. I can't.
Okay, hold on. You're getting ahead of the... You're
God damn it.
In front of everything here. Oh, you're ruining it.
You said, is that okay? And I'm telling you, it is, if that doesn't take the place on what the fuck is Jeremy still doing with Web Warriors.
That's like saying, hey, can we go see the new Harry Potter movie? As long as I get to see Snape kill Dumbledore, yes, it's fine. It's like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
He already let the cat out of the bag with that introduction. We understand that he's trying this again.
What so. Intro? What did he say?
You didn't hear his hashtag, I play Web Warriors now?
Yeah, I guess.
You barely listened to him.
I was busy reading. I don't listen to Jeremy.
Yeah, you the cat. I'm not giving any spoilers here.
Still blaming you.
I'm sure you will. That's not even sort of in question. I know you will still blame me for saying something.
Anyway. So let's go ahead and do Aaron and Parker's currently playing, and we'll cover me and Jeremy as when we get to the list building. Okay. So Parker, what are you currently playing?
I decided to jump back into Hydra after I basically discovered that if I don't have a bunch of rerolls in my list, then I'm not enjoying it. I need my attacks to be premium attacks. And so that's what I've been doing, is just going through all the different affiliations that I can create that in. And Hydra is one of them. I've been refining the same Hydra list that I brought to a tournament a couple months ago. And I really like it. As it turns out, it works. And I think I've started to trim all the fat and the necessary stuff. I still have one slot, like the 10th slot, I can't figure out. Not because I need something, just because it's right. The problem is Strucker. I don't know when I ever play Strucker, because I think my list, or my version of the affiliation, is just Red Skull 2 all the time. Red Skull 2 is such an amazing model. He's a really good leader for exactly what I'm trying to do. And so I have Strucker in the list, but I'm not seeing when I'll ever play him. So basically there is Strucker plus slots that Strucker can use. And I guess I just don't know when I would ever use them, because there's no reason to not do Red Skull. Maybe one day I'll figure that out. But that's where I'm at right now, is trying to figure out a reason why I would ever not do Red Skull. So maybe I'll play a game one day where Red Skull is just absolutely the wrong choice, and I'll know, aha, that one, and I'll be able to figure it out. But I haven't got there yet.
Okay. Aaron, what are you currently playing?
Something between Jack and shit.
Oof.
My personal life has imploded. I've only played 2 games in all of April, and those were back on the 4th. So I haven't played a single fucking game of Marvel in 20 days.
Wow. I mean, you're still beating me, but it's close.
Yeah.
So if you were going to play, do you have a list that you've been playing, or what did you play last, I guess?
I last finished up my scraping the bottom of the barrel list with Hydra.
Oh yeah.
I will now be moving on to Sentinels. We're taking baby steps in the competitive ladder here. I intend on taking Sentinels 2. Let me see if I have my calendar up. So we have our qualifier on the 4th of May in 2 weeks. So I'm going to qualify with Sentinels. And then we've got probably Springfield. I'll take sense there. So yeah, it's just going to be I want to play Sentinels in the TTS League. So it's just going to be a lot of robots.
Cool. All right. So with that, we're going to transition into my team. We've got myself and Jeremy plus friend of the show Ryan, and we are. I don't think we've named our team yet, but it's probably got something to do with cats.
I don't know. I did not name it.
Okay.
You can put cats on if you want.
We can be the Hong Kong Danger Duo.
Because we're all from Hong Kong? Is that the deal, or what?
Because no, there's only two because, of you?
Well, that's what makes us so dangerous. It's because there's three of us.
And the third one is secret?
No, there's three of us, but we're the Hong Kong Danger Duo. And so when people ask, but there's three of you, and so you go, that's what makes us so dangerous. Because there's three of us when there should be two. Nobody gets my references. Anyway, we're moving on. Jeremy, do you want to run through your list? Primarily just hitting the characters, or?
Yes, let me pull it up.
It's... I have it here if you want me to do it, but you can.
You can. Go ahead.
Okay, so you got the ASM.
Oh.
Ghost Spider and Miles. Spider-Woman. Wong. Toad. Black Cat. The correct Peter Parker. Peter 1. A Moon Knight and Sam Wilson.
God, that sounds good, right?
It's very sexy. So it's got the important numbers, which is you've got two twos combined with, what is this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 three-pointers. Mm-hmm. So you can obviously hit the wide numbers. That's always important. You've got the ASM for the important drops. Peter 1, I personally love as a combo to putting it on the field with Gwen. Getting two web liners out there is really strong. And then Sam is interesting spice.
I figure Sam is in there if someone goes wide on me as well. I can push all their shit in with Sam. Like, he's just crazy. Yeah.
If Sam goes hot, it is scary. He can do a lot of board control and damage just out of nowhere. His mobility is obviously insane.
Yep, I looked at him and I was like... His mobility is just really, really good. I think he's got some play. I don't know how many times he hits the table because he's not, you know, re-rolling re-rolls, but he's pretty fucking good.
So, next question. Are you thinking about swapping any of these characters out, or are you happy with these 10?
No, I'm good with those characters. I don't need anything else okay. characters.
All right. So, people that don't know at home, squad goals is character restricted. So, between our three team members, we cannot duplicate any characters. So now I'm going to run into what Ryan is currently looking at playing, which I see some small issues so far. He has ASM.
What?
I'm not kidding at all. I just looked at it. That's what he's running. What if I told you he also has Wong?
Does he also have Wong?
No, he does not have Wong. Okay. But I'm just kidding. He does have ASM, which is clearly coming out. He's not going to take ASM, but... I think he just copied and pasted his old Wakanda list. But anyway, the Wakanda list is King T'Challa, regular Black Panther, M'Baku, Killmonger, Shuri, Storm, Okoye. So all the Wakandans, basically, except for new Killmonger. And then we've also got Hulk, ASM, Iron Man.
Okay. So he needs a five-pointer in there. We got to talk him into, like, Ulick or something.
I was telling him about Ulick. I think Ulick's got some gas because you can not only guaranteed get the Crushing Leap, but have some power left after the Crushing Leap, which means it's much easier to get to the second Crushing Leap or to the throw. And so you can go in, do like 2 damage, and then throw a size 4 at him, and then still have a second action. Like, it's really scary what he can get done.
I also don't hate Thor. Go ahead.
He wants Quicksilver and Toad instead of ASM.
We talked about that. He is not running the scenario Wakandans because we're running webs, so he doesn't have the tools he needs. Like, Toad's got to be in webs.
Now, I have a question for you, Jeremy, about the Web Warriors real fast. Do you want to do that? Like, is that what you want?
Oh, no. Not at all, no.
Okay. I just wanted to be said out loud in the podcast that Jeremy did not want to do this.
Jeremy, I have a very important piece of advice for you.
No. Uh-huh.
Do not allow yourself to become addicted to the winning. You have to. You will long for it in your its absence when you move off of webs.
Let me tell you how stupid webs is, right? So I played it the first time against Spencer at the tournament we had most recently. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he has played Wakanda since the day he was born, I think.
Yeah,
and I was playing webs, and I gave him a real run for his money, and he damn near lost, almost. he got that game. That's fine. That was the first time playing Webzen ever. So I played my next game that mattered against Kenny. And essentially, Kenny killed all my guys, like, really quickly. And at the end of the game, I legitimately should have won, but I didn't think my way out of the box. I should have moved a model and just taken... I should have just won, but I advanced and did something else, and I ended up losing.
You made the cardinal sin of Webs not running away.
Something like that. It was an auto win, and then I turned it into a loss because I just did it wrong. And that's how good Webs are. I absolutely got destroyed on the board, and it didn't matter. It was so silly.
So you're saying you want to win, is what you're saying, and that's why you're...
No, I'm saying that right now... it's what I played most recently, and I enjoy learning and seeing things I haven't seen before. And
winning.
You know, whatever. I don't... I'm not going to claim to be any good at it with Webs, but I'm interested in them right now.
You heard it here, folks, people. He admits he doesn't know how to play them and has no idea what he's doing, but is winning it despite of that.
I
also can pick up Webs at your local game store.
I was just kidding. The only reason I asked is I was on your team while you're playing Webs, and the whole time you're playing Webs, everything about your demeanor made it... it seemed like you'd be screaming, "You made me do this. Why did you make me play Webs?" And your teammates were both like, "We didn't make you do this, man. Why are you so..." Like,
why would Parker do this? Yeah. Jeremy building Websless.
In my defense, all you left was all of the objectives, all of them. What was I supposed to do? It was either Webs or and like,
you should have played Dark Dimension with all S and fucking G's and shit.
I could have taken Webs. I could have taken Sam, kind of, but everybody had stuff that was good in his list. Mm-hmm. I could have taken, I guess, Spider Foes. But they're not any good with all that. Like, criminals? And, I don't...
Okay. So, sure, that situation made you feel like you needed to do that. I get it. Okay. But then you're about to go into another situation with two people that you could say, "Hey, I just did this. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to do something that I didn't enjoy. I don't want to do it again."
I'm getting bullied again by myself.
Oh, okay. So this is by yourself. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You see, Parker, I'll explain how this happened. So what happened first was I said, "I can play whatever you guys want. I'm very flexible." And then Jeremy said, "Oh, okay, that's probably good. Now we'll go see what Ryan wants to do. We probably need to make sure Ryan gets what he wants." So we talked to Ryan. Ryan said, "I'll play whatever. You guys can take whatever you want." And then Jeremy's like, "Cool, I'll take Webs." that's verbatim exactly what happened.
Okay. So I've been brainwashed. I'm pretty certain I've been incepted. There's lots of reasons.
You say that the Webs laid eggs in your brain?
Probably, yes.
Okay. We don't have to believe that anymore. I just felt like I had to know before this tournament happens, and now I know. You told me.
Nothing. I like to imagine Jeremy's where I was around August of last year when I was just like playing some Webs games, and I just go, "How the fuck is this okay?" It's just like playing random.
No,
pickup.
I'm not
He's
there
like,
yet. It's
this
a
is
struggle.
Not fair. This it's is a, so stupid.
It's a struggle. What I'm seeing right now is the impact of not really doing anything, but man, it is effective.
Jeremy, I think even you have to admit, you playing Webs for this short of a time has taken your game to a whole new level. I watched you play Escort to Safety.
You in did. A live it game. Happened.
That has never happened in the history of the world.
No,
until
because
you started playing.
I've never needed it.
It's unlocking whole new areas of your brain. You're like John Travolta in like Limitless or whatever.
Oh, yes, it's exactly like that in every way.
Yeah, some kind of phenomenon's going on over here.
Okay, now we can get back to our scheduled programming. Thank you for pausing for a moment.
So the two lists we're looking at is we've got Wakanda. That's tempo aggro. So he's basically just doing up and at them with Wakanda. Then we've got our standard go wide Webs list with some special Jeremy seasoning on it. So what do you guys think works well with this, knowing that we can't duplicate characters? What affiliations would you guys recommend?
Are you trying to win?
I have a competitive brain, so I want to build a list that is complementary. Obviously, if I just wanted to put what I wanted on the table and ignore everything, I could just do that. But so I want to build a competitive roster to play alongside of it. I like to obviously play more aggressive, you know, attrition play than scenario, but I'm willing to play pretty much anything that I think works well.
I mean, there's so much to choose from.
I know.
Yeah, that's, no, it's they, harder. They did it's a good job to tell of you what. Stuff yeah, open. I was gonna say it's harder to tell you what not to choose, but I have a feeling if I open my mouth and suggest shield, you'll immediately go, blah, no, shield.
No, nope, not playing shield. Not happening.
That's what I mean. So
may I offer you sentinels? They're wide open.
I am closer to playing sentinels than shield.
Great. Sentinels is done.
List. I will have to bring even less models with me.
A-Force?
Four.
A-Force is not normally my thing, but I'm not incredibly against it.
Steve One Avengers, Red Skull 3 Cabal, any combo fucking-cation.
I do not think Convocation is basically off the table because Wong's taken.
Fair enough. Guardians, if you want to shoot shit dead.
That's not a bad choice.
Yeah, Guardians does not have anything taken.
I think sure. Offensive Hellfire would be fun.
Hulk's gone.
Inhumans. Midnight Suns without Wong is tough.
What about oh my gosh, I just thought of it, but now Asgardians.
No.
I don't think Asgardians are that competitive. They're probably fine.
I had to give
Wong
you
is nice for them as well.
Three aggro / attrition focused teams. It's Red Skull 3, Cabal, X-Force, and Guardians.
Okay.
And Inhumans make a close fourth.
I think Uncanny X-Men should be a fourth as well. I think Cyclops X-Men is pretty good.
Okay, well, Parker's just wrong.
I agree.
I think we're missing.
No, I am wrong. I am right. Uncanny X-Men. No,
you had it right the first time.
Freudian slip. Got him.
Uncanny X-Men.
Killer, say what?
None of you have. Maybe you correct me if I'm wrong. If you guys have played new Uncanny X-Men post Professor X's cards, the tactics cards that he got in, but it is so hard to target, remove an X-Men right now. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible. Like with Brace, Children, not Children, whatever the fuck it's called.
Xavier's Dream.
Yeah, with Dream, and Brace, Exceptional Healing. Like, it is so difficult to remove an X-Men.
And you can have Recal in there on top of it.
Oh, yeah. It is. That's what I mean by I think they're one of the best attrition lists right now because their tactics are so
I would like to offer a counterpoint. If I'm playing mutants in an attrition style format, I actively want to play X-Force. And so I would give the nod to X-Force just because it's playing half the same models anyway.
You can
now,
yeah.
Maybe I would have an X-Men package in there, but that would not be my go-to play.
The only tech you actually lose is what?
Xavier's Dream?
It can't be that good that one card is going to take you over the top.
I also am not. I almost refuse to play Xavier entirely, which I know isn't necessarily exactly what you're saying, but yeah, I know a lot of people are doing that right now.
I would not play Xavier. I think he's fine, but I don't think he's. I think it's Cyclops actually, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, so of those four, X-Force, Cabal, Guardians, Inhumans, what two are you most X-Men. Interested in playing, Brandon? No. You already said
I'm gonna. Before we do that, I was gonna say the things I was bringing to the table on my own that I was interested in playing.
Oh, we didn't care about
this. The first two are big. I think X-Force and Spider Foes. I was interested in playing, with a small caveat of possibly Defenders, but without Wong, Defenders is weird. It's not as crucial as Convocation is, but it's still pretty important.
Are you willing to get reps in with proxy models for the Spider Foes that are going to come out in time to play it at the tournament?
You mean specifically like Gwen and Sandman?
Or Electro?
I think Sandman's going to be so good.
I think Sandman's going to be important. I think Electro is good, but I don't think he's like...
Sure, whichever crush. Of the six models that are coming out that you might want to include. Because I would play Spider Foes only if I was considering those models.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to proxy them. So
then I would not consider Spider Foes if you're just using the current stable of models.
I think current stable of Spider Foes is fine.
It's uninspired, but you're not wrong.
The Yeah, and currently one of the big unused models we have is Rhino. So I'd like to get Rhino on the table.
Looked at all of the affiliations, and good news, he fits in all of them.
Yep. Good news, broken models are broken. Okay. So what were the what was the four that you were talking about?
X-Force, Cabal, Guardians, Inhumans.
All right, so I'm going to get rid of Defenders off the list. I was kind of interested in what you said about the aggressive Hellfire Club. Yep. What does that entail?
So I would build that with Apex Predator, maybe Swan. I'd take a look at characters that really want that second and third power on turn two, like a Zemo, because he would potentially have the power to charge and Master Swordsman if you're on Infinity, for instance.
Or if you just get to leadership before he activates.
That's still only going to give him... That would give him four, yeah.
Yeah, if he doesn't pick up an extract. Yep,
if he's not your first one. So characters like that, that are going to use that power effectively at the beginning of turn two, to turn that power into an attrition advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't thought it all the way through, but it's always been on my plate ever since Hellfire came out, was instead of playing the tanky version, take nothing but people who translate power into damage.
Well, you can still take a decent amount of the tanky people. Like, Rhino still fits that bill. Logan still fits that bill. Apex is obviously in there. Yeah, that sounds interesting. I haven't looked at Inhumans a lot. Guardians is obviously fine. My problem I have with Red Skull 3 Cabal is my favorite models in Cabal don't actually work well in that list. And so I always get annoyed that I don't get to play my favorites. Because, like, I want to play Red Skull 2, and then I want to... like, take other people that don't synergize with him very well. And so it just always feels like I'm missing out on the point. But I'm not against Red Skull 3 either. Of the list we've talked about, X-Force is the list I'm most interested in building. But it's probably also the most derivative, because I think X-Force mostly just slams the same shit every game.
But if that's still the one you're most interested in building, then we build that one.
I know.
Okay.
But you had me excited with the Hellfire. Inhumans and Guardians I kind of put in the same bucket. They're just like, I'm slightly better than most people shooting. X-Force feels more dynamic.
Hellfire with Iron Man Helios was really insane. Like, it was just silly. Turn two, Helios. Bam. Like, what?
Did you not like that? Well, I can't take Iron Man, though. You have him.
I don't have Iron Man.
Oh, sorry. Ryan has him. Oh. But
there's like three Iron Mans now.
Ryan fucking has him. Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
There's new Iron Man. I don't think you'd play him, probably, but... normally goes with the Red Skull 3 Cabal? Who's, like, the important grabs?
Subject to significant debate.
Ultron?
I assume it's, like, Zemo, Ulic.
So, Perrin played them very well with my theory, which was to take people who reroll naturally. Because you roll skulls and you're fine. You don't roll skulls, you're still rerolling everything that didn't work. A la Logan and X-23. Zemo, just like Jeremy said, Bullseye, Ultron 2. A lot of people played him in the TTS League with like a Thanos if you got stuck on the middle at 15.
Okay.
Is MODOK wrong?
Yes.
I think that is one of the few games of Red Skull 3 I've actually played is with MODOK. It was great. As long as MODOK doesn't die, he just kills everything. But it doesn't always work. All right, well, we've already built a Spider-Foes list. I'm going to take Spider-Foes off the list. The funny part is I actually think I would like playing Inhumans, even though I shit on them all the time. Guardians just seems kind of boring, because they're just the same old shit.
Yeah, Guardians does play the same models. You drop basically the same thing every turn, every game.
I'm not a big fan of Red Skull 3, just because the list feels kind of like a dice lottery. Where it's just like, you know, you're just hoping for the skulls and, you know that the math works over a long period, but if you could just get bad games where you like your leadership basically doesn't do anything. All right, so I've narrowed it down to X-Force, Hellfire, Inhumans. What do you guys think?
Do you like playing Cable?
Yes. Everyone likes playing Cable. He's fun.
Do you like playing X-23?
I don't know. I've never put her on the table.
Oh my god.
I have actively boycotted her to this day because she's fucking broken.
Yep. She real, real good.
Yeah, I know she's good. She's fucking stupid.
I don't think you'll enjoy playing X-Force. because you don't enjoy like run downhill, and I think they're not exactly run downhill, but they're all about like time on target, right? They're all about I'm going to do the pretty efficient number of attacks over the course of the game, and each attack is going to be a little bit more efficient than normal, and so I'm just going to get you a little bit, right? They're not like big wipeouts, and they're not about playing really cheeky. You're not setting up a lot of combos or scenario play. You're mostly just, you know, consistently removing health off the opponent's models. You're like, okay, what do I do this turn? I remove some health off my opponent's models. What do I do the next activation? Oh, I'm going to remove some health off my opponent's models. Like, that's what you're doing. So I don't think you would, unless you want to do that. But I do not think you'll want to do that. I think you'd enjoy Inhumans more. Because Inhumans are a lot about, okay, if I get one power here, then I'll be able to get that one power here. And then that'll let me do this with that. You can play models like Quicksilver and Beast, and it'll give you stuff. Yeah, that's Inhumans. But you can play models that do different things that's not just, I'm going to remove damage. I'm just going to do damage to you. That's my game plan, just damage to you.
So what's the core for the Inhumans build? Obviously, you've got like potentially Lockjaw, obviously Black Bolt, probably Crystal in there as a 3-point drop.
I think Quicksilver is actually a 3-point drop.
Okay,
they're both good depending on the situation.
I think it's probably Black Bolt, Quicksilver, Medusa, Lockjaw is their core, and then if you want to add a few more Inhumans, you can. But I think those are the four Inhumans you start with, and then. You know, really, one of the cool things about Inhumans is that anything else you want to do, like if you want to charge first turn, you can put in Zemo, so you can get easily Quicksilver and Zemo like moving long and attacking on turn one, so like great tempo plays. And they already have rerolls, so when you get Zemo next to an Inhuman, you feel all your models are Logan, right? All of them are Logan. That feels great. I think Zemos are really good included in humans because everything feels like you're playing Logan at that point, which is freaking awesome.
Is Venomize out yet?
It will be by the time.
It will be by the tournament, but it's not currently out.
Venomizing that dog is just fucking so cool.
Did that happen?
No, but it's just a thing you can do.
Why would you want to? I guess to give it a better, to give it a spender that you care about?
A range 3 spender that he has the power for every turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy is speaking truth. Models.
No, he's it's also kind of beefy.
Yeah, and he can survive. And if you heal that dog, all of a sudden you got to work on him again. It's legit. I think that is a legit move.
That makes sense. Yeah, that totally makes total sense. And you can easily get it off. Yeah.
You add that to the collection of beaters that list has, and the amount of like, I think that's really solid.
I'm trying to figure out if we could jam the Hellfire list into the X-Force list. Do you think there's enough overlap?
What models in the X-Force list? Because
Apex and Logan will probably be able to be overlapped.
Apex and
X-23.
Apex and Logan are neither in X-Force.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. But they're models. I'm talking about models that you'll probably end up playing.
So I'm going to say yes, because I was looking through some of the models, starting with Lowest Threat, to put in this offensive X-Force list. And just looking at the threes, Deadpool and Domino were on my list already. I really think you'll need probably 3 more slots.
Obviously, the cool part about the Hellfire size, it doesn't fucking matter who you put in as long as you have models. But
why would you play Hellfire instead of X-Force, I guess is my question. Cable is just better than Emma in an attrition game. And I know he's 1 more point.
There's no question he's going to do more. I think it's more about, like, is there a happy affiliated package at that point total? And do you maybe need access to different models?
Well, let's start with.
Go ahead. Nah. I don't see the time when you're like, oh man, what I really need is 3 health and 3 power over the next, you know, over the first 3 turns of this game. So I'm going to switch to Hellfire. I don't see that being the build you have.
Well, if it turns into more of a grinding slugfest kind of game, then I think Emma's a little bit better. If you want, obviously, the tempo advantage, then X-Force has a little bit of that. But it's all from Cable. Like, you can still just play Cable in Hellfire Club. Like, it doesn't stop you. And now you've got Cable getting more power, more health over the game. If it turns into a long, drawn-out game, I think Hellfire is just better. Does that make sense? Because the concept of this is that your core group of like six models you play a lot isn't really changing. You'd just be, in this example, dropping like Psylocke for Emma for the long game.
Well, specifically, you know, Aaron said that if you're playing Hellfire to be attrition, you need models that'll turn power into damage. Cable yes. can do that. Psylocke can do that. Hmm. All the other models are not really turning power into damage.
Well, right, but we'd be adding in models like Apex to do that.
I mean, Domino does.
Yeah, Domino can.
Yeah, but she usually has enough power to do that.
Arguably Deadpool can, even.
But
Deadpool's got a lot of ways to spend power.
Right, but both of them already get the power they need to do the thing they do. Like, neither of them need help. Like, Psylocke needs help. She'll be empty until she's full all of a sudden, right? So, yeah. like Apex needs help, right? Mm-hmm. You need to get him to that threshold of three before he starts the train rolling. So I guess what I'm saying is X-Force models, one of the cool things about them is that they're high tempo, time on target from the beginning of the game. None of them need a lot of help. They're all solo artists, except for specifically Psylocke. So if these like solo artists that don't need any sort of power help are put into a list that gives them power, I think I would rather be taking all my Hellfire slots and turning them into things like Zemos, MODOK, like models that I know just translate power into damage, period, full stop. Hmm. Like that's
but Zemo kind of fits both of those.
I don't think so. Zemo gets so much better if he has an extra power on turn one. He's automatically better than every other.
You're formation. Not giving him the power on turn one, though. That's how Emma's leadership works.
Then you're not playing Hellfire for tempo? Okay, so you're playing Hellfire for...
No, you're playing it for, like, long period. For the duration, right? You're getting the efficiency over the course of the game, as opposed to the tempo early. But even Zemo, like, isn't getting the tempo with X-Force either. It's only, like, Inhumans and...
Right.
What's the other one?
That's what I just realized. It's like, well, then if you're not playing Hellfire for tempo... I mean,
it can be turn two tempo. It's just not turn... It's not Spirit of Wakanda jank. It's not that stupid. But a Zemo activating with four power on turn two... is so much different than a Zemo activating with two power on turn two.
Right.
Which is right, like normal with Hellfire Club, your Zemo might have four power on his first activation of two.
Yeah.
And so he's going in with a charge plus rerolls, building more power for the second reroll set.
I see that. So it's kind of a delayed strong tempo. But my question, I guess my point is, why do you want to combine X-Force into that? Just because Psylocke would benefit from that plan? I think you just put Psylocke in your attrition.
And so I think you're focusing a lot on the affiliated models with X-Force, and that's not what I'm looking at. I think they want the same mercenary models. And so, like, when I reach for Apex for X-Force, he also works extremely well in Hellfire Club, is what I'm saying. Like, the model like Zemo we're talking about, he works well in both. It's not necessarily exclusively the X-Force models. You're only going to have, like, maybe four or five X-Force models in the whole list. But the whole second half of the list could just be good drop-in models.
I mean, I would argue Apex is not a good drop-in in X-Force, but...
I don't know. I haven't played it. Like I haven't played X-Force as everybody else has been playing X-Force the whole time. Cable's been good.
Yeah, I would argue that he is not. I would argue that he takes too much. He'd make perfect sense in Hellfire. I think Zemo makes perfect sense in Hellfire. I would not put Zemo in X-Force. I would not put Apex in X-Force. I think there's better models for them. But
sure, there might be. But I'm going to go ahead and start building the list now. So we're going to start with X-Force and see where we get to with just the X-Force obvious stuff. So definitely Cable Psylocke, X-23, Honey Badger, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say no Honey Badger. Yes, on Deadpool and Domino.
I love Honey Badger because of the new tactics card. It feels awesome.
What is, what's your 2-point drop if you're not taking Honey Badger? Do you put in like Rocket?
Bullseye.
Bullseye?
And if you really don't go balls to the wall, it's Bullseye. I think Bullseye does more with power. He can on his spender turn, I think, do more damage than Rocket. I think survivability is probably a wash. Offensively, they're probably also so close, I'm not sure it matters. Their spenders both cost four.
I don't think you want either of them.
You really want Honey Badger, huh?
Honey Badger's always been good. But in an affiliation that has Incinerate all over it, going minus two defense makes that on-target attacks that you have so often actually happen. Also, the affiliation needs to last a little bit. They need to be on to turn three with all of their killing models healthy, and she does that. Also, if you haven't played her with Preserve the Dream, It is such an amazing combo. It writes itself, and it feels so good.
What is Preserve the Dream?
It's the new X-Force card that came out with Bishop, but it's restricted on points, and that's why Honey Badger is key. So when an enemy character targets an ally character with an attack, if it has a higher threat value than your ally, so Honey Badger takes a body, takes a taunt usually, immediately as soon as you do that taunt, not only are you there losing the attack, but now any of your models, including any on X-Force models, can spend one power as a reactive ability, Preserve the Dream. All the characters that spent power can advance short towards the attacking enemy character.
Oh, Jesus
which
Christ.
Allows you. Yeah. It's a one power, everybody that moves as soon as somebody attacks Honey Badger. The Preserve the Dream is amazing. And I think Honey Badger not only is good for X-Force, she makes that card just so consistent. It's almost impossible for them to ignore or like work around Preserve the Dream. And if they don't work around Preserve the Dream, man, you just get so much done.
Okay. What are your guys' thoughts on Wolverine over Logan?
No. Hard no.
No. Because he can just Berserker Barrage on the first turn. So he threatens similar to Logan. Obviously, you know, Logan is free. Do you say Logan no matter what?
Absolutely. The only place I would ever play Wolverine is Defenders and Steve 3. And even then, I'm not sure I would. Again, hard, sweaty, try hard, you know, play him where you want. But that's my competitive answer.
X-Force loves spreading out, actually, like 1v1s. They really appreciate it because Cable can lend firepower anywhere. Deadpool and Domino can switch up really easily. And so you love seeing models that can, you know, good solo artists. Like X-23 can take on two characters bigger than X-23 and Honey Badger. I count as one character. They're like, she's basically a grunt. And then your other side could be something like Logan. Man, when Logan gets to reroll two and reroll a third, even a skull, that feels great. I'm saying Logan. Yeah, good.
Aaron, you said you want Deadpool and Domino.
Yes,
I would.
Okay.
New Deadpool feels amazing.
I'm not against New Deadpool. It's just him and Domino seem like a lot.
I didn't have Honey Badger, so I was going to cap my affiliated at five. If I had to drop one, it'd be Deadpool, if you wanted Honey Badger. I disagree with Parker's comments, but take it for what it's worth.
So that puts me at four. So it's obviously Cable, X-23, Psylocke, and then Domino.
I think Parker and I agree those four are a lock. Would you agree, Parker? And
so
Jeremy?
The question is, do you add Deadpool? I just don't see a time that you need all three threes. Because that would put you at four affiliated, and there's no way you're going seven wide.
But even if you're going six wide, even. I might disagree with that. Again, my concept has a bullseye, right? So I would love to go six wide at like 18 or so.
So six wide at 18 means you're five wide at 13. So that means you need four threes. It's definitely doable.
I think Deadpool accomplishes something really important right now, which is he gives them the ability to be a little mobile. So before, Cable was really their only mobile character. Psylocke, kind of mobile. But Deadpool really can do multiple, again, time on target, right? Domino does not have great time on target unless she's in a great position. Unless, you know, they're all coming towards her into her, you know, hail bullets. So,
but like, beyond the affiliated issue, like, how is he's not any more good at, like, time on target than anyone with a charge, right? Because he has to spend two power to place two. And anyone who's charging is moving further than that.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you need an affiliated model, if you needed an
Sure. So it's not that Deadpool is important. It's that a model that can, you know, get the action economy to make all the attacks. Then he just happens to be affiliated, obviously.
What I'm saying is if you're trying to get, like, decide which one, Deadpool or Domino, I think the choice is, do you need somebody who's going to pick up an extract and see somebody come towards them and chew them up? That's Domino. If you need somebody who's going to be able to go out and get something, you're going to be able to throw out and challenge, that's Deadpool, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to leave it at the four for now. So other obvious includes is Logan.
Rhino.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
No, Rhino.
Rhino. good with that.
I would throw out one I know you're going to like and one I know you're not going to like.
Okay.
The one you're going to like is Punisher. Ooh. The one you're not going to like is Elektra.
Yep. Not even going to type her name in. It's completely pointless.
Okay.
Okay.
I will also throw out the super spicy take of Ant-Man.
Oh, I do like me some Ant-Man.
It's not even spicy; it's just amazing. Fucking good.
It's just
Ant-Man. Ant-Man's also good because he's about that time on target. I think yep. X-Force is all about like you want to be attacking all the time with them because that's what their affiliation does really well.
Yeah, Ant-Man with a reroll.
And I think they're going to attack. I don't know if anybody else's listeners, if you guys have all played Preserve the Dream, and you agree with me.
I'm not a huge fan of that card based on you reading it. I guess it'd be interesting to see it in action. But I feel like a lot of the X-Force characters already, by the time you're playing that, are already in position.
It's really, really good when they start like rotating, or when you start, mm-hmm. or when you need to start rotating. It's very, very good because you can do it from across the field. So all of a sudden your model that was outside is now inside, and it happens on their mm-hmm. turn. It's really annoying. Okay. I say not annoying. It's really... I felt that it's amazing. Also, it could be it's not just X-Force characters. It's an X-Force card, but any ally. So if you have any large bases, like I don't know if you want to put something like a MODOK in your list also, but if you want to put something like large bases in your list, they go really freaking far when they preserve the dream.
I'm leaning more into Deadpool now. So I threw Emma in with... So currently what I'm looking at is the Cable, Psylocke, X-23, Domino package. Then we've got Logan, Rhino, Emma, Punisher, Ant-Man, Bullseye as the theoretical 10. And that leaves me seeing that, like you were saying, at the 18 points, if I can swap one of those to an affiliated 3, you can get 6 wide at 18. And it's not a bad list. Do we want to swap in Zemo for Punisher?
Yes.
I think Punisher is definitely better on the first turn, but I think every other turn, basically, Zemo's going to be better.
Yeah.
I love Punisher when you're playing Grunts. When you're not playing Grunts, I feel like he doesn't get as much work as he should. I know that seems terrible because there's like, really? That's the only difference? Right. Like, yes, but it does. When they start killing your Grunts and you start getting tokens for that, if he really starts going nuts.
All right, so we got Zemo in for Punisher. Do we still like Ant-Man? And is Emma worth her slot?
I like Ant-Man.
I think he's good in both. Because Ant-Man's such a great skirmisher that he's really going to get the value of the Emma leadership or just get in and get the person that's running away from you. Between Zemo and Ant-Man and Rhino and Logan, you're such good chasers. Like, how are they going to run from
you? That sounds amazing.
And yeah, Psylocke also.
Extra power for Ant-Man fuels his spender, which is fucking baller.
Mm-hmm. And like the healing is so... like it's so hard to actually kill Ant-Man unless you just sacrifice him. Because he can get in and get out. Like, you activate him last, goes in, places, beats the shit out of people, activates first, beats the shit out of them again, places away, and like, out of line of sight because he's size one. And you're like, what the fuck? He's, like, behind a dumpster.
I just want to take a second to... I wish we could play our original take on Ant-Man.
It was such a bad take.
And how much we shit on him for, like, an entire episode one day.
Freezingcoldtakes.com.
Now we all love him so much.
He's so fucking good. Yeah. I had Kenny. Kenny was so down on MCP, and I activated Ant-Man. He's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, all right, I wasn't going to buy any more models, but, like, I'm buying this fucking guy. This guy looks insane.
Yeah, he is awesome.
All right. I'm liking how this is shaping up. The Emma is definitely the question mark right now. So what could we put in instead of Emma? Deadpool?
Honey Badger.
Well, if Honey Badger's in, you're cutting Bullseye. So what are you doing with that slot?
Oh.
You're not running those twos.
Okay, yeah. You're not doing twos. Okay, so then...
Well, you wouldn't run double twos in X-Force, I don't think. You want Pryo. Let's see.
I think if you have Honey Badger, I don't know if you care about Pryo so much. Because their important activation, she'll likely taunt.
I mean, they just won't activate the person that's going to get taunted.
But I think then you feel like you're winning, right?
I mean, you're also assuming you're able to get Honey Badger to their important model and not get her dazed. Like, there's a lot. Like, she dies pretty fast if your opponent's, like, doing stuff. Or if they just have any way to board manipulate you. Mm-hmm. Or just aren't, like, range 2 with their attacks. Like, it's really hard to actually get her in a good spot without getting her killed. I do respect the taunt. It is important and it's good. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd rather have a model that's going to actually contribute over the course of a game.
All right, I'm going to go left field here, and I think you might like it.
Okay.
None of us grabbed Thanos.
I thought about something silly like that, but I don't think so. Because I don't think Thanos is going to be the damage piece. Honestly, I'm closer to CGR than Thanos.
I mean, if you're not going to go janky with Emma, I do think a big scary guy is a gear check. And every list, I think, kind of needs one, kind of, sort of. Mm-hmm. Or at least it's nice to have it if you have room to do it.
Yeah.
Because regardless of any version of CGR, every version has been able to eat threes nonstop. Mm-hmm. Now, eating a four is a little tougher now, but it still can do that.
Yeah, he's still scary. I really want to play this Emma list, so it's really affecting my mental capacity to make this decision.
I like the idea, for sure. I think it sounds really good.
I might pull a straight, hard cheater move and do what Aaron does, which is just leave her in despite her not being in the list.
Her the 11th character. Play some games
and see if I find myself reaching for her when she's not really there.
Strong.
All right, so I think Deadpool's an interesting add. I don't have Apex in here right now. I think I would have to get Apex in if we were going to legitimately consider Emma. Do you guys think you should play either of the Sabretooths in X-Force?
Nope. They really don't fit in with our game plan. Apex requires power to get his train rolling. Like, he has to have it. And OG Sabretooth is very passive.
Mm-hmm.
And you need... X-Force is all about proaction. Just go, go, go. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Okay. Hear me out. What about Hawkeye?
No.
In a list where we're playing advanced R&D, so he's going to hook arrow and just double tap on the first turn.
Still, no.
Why not? You don't like that at all?
No.
Why not? That's a good play.
God almighty. Someone help me out.
I think you're probably better off if you roll an advanced R&D to attack on turn one, I think it's Zemo instead. Like, that's a better play.
Yeah, no, I think you would do it for both, because you would turn on Zemo and him. So you'd have, potentially, you're running into them with Cable, Zemo, Ant-Man, and Hawkeye, all on the first turn, so probably getting...
I don't think you play R&D.
Yeah.
So if you go with Zemo and you whiff, now you start your next turn with no power? I don't know.
Well, I mean, what if you just whiff next turn, then?
That's why you do it. That's why you Master Swordsman the next turn.
I don't know. I think if you're planning on whiffing on seven dice, I think you have a different problem.
How does Zemo have seven dice? First of all, stop cheating.
Five plus two rerolls.
The five dice plus strategic plus the leadership.
Hmm.
So he's got seven dice. The odds of him doing zero damage, I mean, then his rerolls was probably going to do zero damage at that point. Like, it's not like I'm choosing to make a much worse attack. It's just slightly worse. So Bishop, right? Bishop's good.
Again, passive. That's why.
I'm just reading his card again. I'm just being disappointed still. Okay. I can't think of anybody else. So you guys think I should just jam in Deadpool and be done with it?
Yeah.
I think you'll like Deadpool a lot. I think Deadpool fits in with their game plan well. New Deadpool feels great. Deadpool 2.0. His old version, yeah. if you were at all thinking that he's like his old version, he feels totally different now.
Yeah, I know, he can't triple tap anymore.
That's not why you took him before.
He does do a lot of damage now. Like, he's pretty silly.
He double taps on his basic attack now, too. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
His ceiling is so high for a three-pointer, and he's still that hard-to-kill cockroach, right? Like, he's still difficult to remove.
Okay, tactics cards.
Let's do crisis first. I think they're more important.
That's fair. Well, I just assumed they were obvious.
Ooh. Sure.
All right, here we go.
What do you take, Mr. Obvious? I've got 15 minutes left before I'm out.
Definitely this one. I don't know the math on that one enough. Okay, so I'm doing Legacy and Alien Ship was my pre-planned. I'm leaning towards Worthy because of Cable. I'm pretty sure he can get a steal off, or not steal, but he can pick up one of the middle ones while still contributing.
Well, how can he steal?
He doesn't steal. He just gets one of the worthy tokens, I believe.
Yeah, with cat and mouse, yes.
Yeah. But cat and mouse, move, pick it up, double tap. Or not double, shoot.
Yeah. Once, but without Pryo, it's hard to know where to position him.
Yeah.
Because if you cat and mouse, then they steal that one out from underneath them, it's kind of bad.
Yeah, and so then the question is, would you want to play Researcher? And I think generally the answer is yes, but there are lists that you probably have a bad matchup against.
You are correct with both of those statements. I would consider Scrolls and Senators.
I think I definitely like Scrolls more. I don't know that I actually want to play it, but I would not want to play Senators, I think.
Fair enough.
There's just too many points. Things could easily go sideways. Secures.
So, here. I actually am going to push back against Virus and Alienship.
Hit me.
If you win Prior, you're selecting your blues or your reds 90% of the time.
Probably thinking about my list. Probably reds.
Okay.
Without reps in practice.
Then you're fine.
Because too many people are running like Fs on extracts and it's just too fast. I feel like I can stand on the blues and kill them, but if they get the extracts and run away, like, it's a whole different problem.
Okay. I think it depends on what you think your worst matchup is, and if you think it's the super scenario team, then sure. I can buy that.
Yeah, I mean, my plan is I want to kill people on scenario teams. All right, so moving into secures, I like demons, intrusions, and then I was leaning towards riots as the third one.
I would suggest meteors or scoundrels.
I hate scoundrels.
Okay. Despite the fact that your leadership okay specifically says ignore scoundrels.
On within range 3.
Wow. So it's really, and scoundrels is a remarkably big melee because all those points are not that far from each other. So
they're really not that far.
I completely concur with the first two you picked though. So now it's what's the least bad option? I really like meteors.
Deadly meteors. I hate spending power on pay to flips. I just fucking hate pay to flips. I've had so many bad experiences on it.
So don't even try it. Use it to force your opponent to play in the middle, and you can just fucking ignore them. Treat it like demons, where your points don't matter. It's just about denying them to your opponent.
Okay. I don't hate that logic.
Meteors all feels right. Really good for X-Force.
What was your pushback on the extracts again? What did you suggest I play instead?
I am a huge proponent of playing 4 white extracts as your attrition team.
Is that just so when you lose Pryo, you're not just down?
You are correct. I think Paranoia also has the benefit of damaging people. You don't have a lot of displacement, though, so I'm not sure I'd take Paranoia. But that's why I would play Scrolls, is because it's equal. Potentially hammers. But I'm not sure.
With this list, I wouldn't be nearly as worried about the minion picking up the extract, because this list is so good about getting it from a grunt. But I'm always worried about the even extracts, like what happens when their grunt just picks up one of the extracts.
And for senators, with as attrition focused as you're going to be, I think your opponent's going to have a very hard time holding on to all the senators that they picked up, because they can't double move away from you.
Yeah, I get that too. Obviously, you just have it opens up the possibility of you just have one bad dice turn and don't kill the people you thought you were going to kill, and then they go up like 6-3 on you. And it's like, oh god, now we're on a clock.
That's fair.
I normally don't even play Alienship. I only picked Alienship because if I just let them have them, I can deal with them having two of the three extracts, and it might just explode on them because I'm dealing damage to them to give them enough power for them to blow up. And then it's just extra free damage. And so it's kind of like playing cubes with less points.
Ship it.
I think Alienship is strong for them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you keep the scoring down with X-Force, because like I said, their time on target is so good. You just don't want them to have the ability to run away. So you have to spend actions chasing them. So as long as they can't win with just the extracts and they have to sit on secures also, you're probably advantaged most of the time. Okay. Unless they're also planning on fighting you, then it's best attrition wins, right? But
restricted cards. Brace?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably play Sack as my second.
Makes sense.
I can't believe how hot that card is now. Like 2 years ago, it was not.
Well, wasn't it that one of the other restricteds got banned? What was it? I want to say the card that was getting played over it got banned. But I don't remember.
Have there been any cards banned since patch up Medpack? Or since Medpack and the other one? The one that lets you come back?
No, or not Fallback. Follow Me?
No, the one that lets you come back to life.
Oh, yeah. That was Field Dressing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but that, I think that got... that Fallback that was the most... Yeah. I keep saying Fallback. Follow Me was the most recent card banned, to my recollection. All right. So obviously Fallback is in...
Cat and Mouse.
Yeah, Cat and Mouse. Dues. Oh, this is not even a X-Force card. I'm glad I didn't put that in. Is there any...
Exceptional Healing.
All right. Dirty Work, no. Preserve the Dream. That's the one Parker was talking about.
You should at least test it.
Pretty Sneaky Sis?
No.
No.
But why? That card should be good.
It's bad.
Mission Objective, no matter the cost. Are you 10 yet?
You can actually play Fallback in the affiliation. A lot of the models can just come right back and still kill you.
Yeah, no, Fallback's already in.
Okay.
You think I need Mission Objective?
I am hard-pressed to not include it in my 10.
What about Recal?
Nope.
Face Me?
Legitimate?
No. I'd say no.
What about Eyes on the Prize?
What's the card I'm forgetting? Oh, yeah, no matter the cost.
I don't think you need Eyes. You just wait for your opponent to pick it up, and then you fucking punish them for it.
Yeah, I don't think you need Eyes either. It is a legitimate ad, though. I know personally I would avoid playing it unless I absolutely had to.
What about Sucker?
Probably not.
What's your Ultron 2 plan?
Kill everyone else.
Okay.
Oh, Robbery.
Oh, because you have him, yeah.
Is there any other character cards I have? Psylocke?
No. I don't think you need Psionic Constructs. It's not wrong, but... Mm. Again, assuming you're playing Logan or X-23, you've got your two restricted Exceptional Healing, Cat and Mouse, and you're at four that you're probably taking every game. So these next six cards are not hugely important, and you've already taken the best ones.
Should you play Get Some Air to make sure that Logan could get somewhere?
No.
I didn't think so.
It's hard to justify all those cards over a Fallback. Right, so now if I've got those, you know, two restricted Cat and Mouse, Fallback, and I forget what I just said. Oh, Exceptional, right? You don't even have space in that list for fucking Robbery. So now you're going to have to drop either Cat and Mouse or Fallback to put Robbery in. So, like, legitimately, you're probably never going to have a chance to even play Mission Objective, no matter the cost. Or or anything you're considering right now, whether it be Face Me or Sucker. Or so that really has to be a niche card that you would use. And I just, other than Sucker being the anti-Ultron card, I'm not sure anything else.
Mark. Well, I have Deadpool, too, so I can drain power off of him with Deadpool.
Yeah. Mark for Death, if you're really, really worried about webs.
Oh, yeah, Mark for Death. That's what I was... That's a good ad.
Mark for Death feels really good with their list.
Yeah, for sure. I wish they had, like, a cruelty-type card. What about Crimson Dawn?
No.
No point. I'm already running Exceptional Healing, so it lets her play Exceptional Healing. I'm just going to... Nope, that's not legal. Can't do that. I put in Pretty Sneaky Sis. I'll just put in Recal, and we'll just call it good. No, never going to play it. All right, so I got Brace, Sacrifice, Fallback, Cat and Mouse, Exceptional Healing, Mission Objective, Robbery, Pretty Sneaky Sis, Mark for Death, Recal. Got it.
Sure.
Ship it.
I don't hate this. This is solid. I'm excited to give this a go. I feel like there's a character we're missing that could be in here, though.
It's Honey Badger.
It's not. No, I'm thinking high tempo, like aggressive piece. I was trying to think if there was a way we could get Black Bolt in, but he's not the same character without like transportation.
Also, I think like Black Panther could be another pretty high tempo.
Honestly, I considered Nebula for a second. If you were talking about playing non-contesting twos, like Nebula's really spicy.
Nebula works as well.
We'll ship it. I like the idea. Try and make some.
If we're talking about non-contesting twos, what I would like to add is, it's like, fucking what? Okay.
Yeah, the more I look at this, I'm just sad that Punisher's not in here. He'd be so great in here.
Dude, he was so close to being in there. You guys were like high-fiving. You were like,
I finally did it, bro. Deadpool to get him back in.
You finally did it, bro. I love Punisher so much. Thanks for coming. He's like, I knew you would pick me. It's like the last kid in dodgeball or whatever. Like,
yeah. Oh.
And then you booted him right out.
All right. It's done. All right, cool. You guys got anything else you want to talk about today?
Incredibly satisfying. No, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for helping me with my list. I shall now copy this to the Discord.
All right.
All righty. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Brandon.
And Parker.
And Jeremy.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to The Gang's Maximum Effort. So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous. And we did it.
We did.
Hell yeah, we did. Dude, I've never done it harder, honestly.
There's only one thing I've done harder.
Yeah.
And that's listen to the other Infamous podcast.
Ooh, you're drinking it in, huh? Drinking our milkshake, motherfucker?
Since we played that demo game, Jeremy, I have listened to every episode now.
You're ready.
The other Infamous podcast. Yeah,
You'll probably be... You'll be sad to hear that it's over. They're not recording anymore.
I did not think that was happening. But if it does happen, then I still lived a great many hours in joy. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, Parker, we need some feedback then, right?
Oh, really?
Like, okay. We need some thick fucking skinned feedback.
Ooh. Not too thick. I'm going to be mad.
Wait, are you saying that the feedback you're getting is thick skinned?
Okay,
that you need actual constructive criticism.
Well, Kenny's both. Not here for most of the criticism, so here we go.
Oh, he'll hear this. Go right ahead.
He's not here to defend himself.
Before you dive in, please realize that I am a food and beverage director for seniors that can judge food, and they do judge food, and they criticize every moment that I'm alive. So
you, what you're saying is you don't need it. You don't need it, is what you're saying.
Okay. What I'm saying is, be careful.
Okay. I actually wanted to say that there's two things I really love about it. First off, I love the structure that you guys have come up with. There was only one really unstructured episode. That was the Adepticon episode, where it was just kind of you know, flowing with the stories that you guys had. But all the other story, every other one has this really nice structure. I love the segments. I think they're all really good. I love Peasants and Champions is one of my favorite like new things of any media. I love Peasants and Champions as like a fun thing to talk about, because we all have those model stories, and those are things you want to talk about. I don't know where that came from, but that's something that happens. Like I was thinking about it. I was like, this is something that happens at every con I go to, right? When you go to talk to people, like, how's it going? And you'll say like, well, you know, Spider-Man 1 was supposed to be bad, but he did this, and you talk about how they lived the dream, right? And so I thought that was really excellent. One little note for you, Jeremy. I love how many times your champion and your peasant is the same model. I don't know if you've counted, but I think it's like 5 times out of the 12 episodes you've made. I think it's really funny that it's Kenny always has this like really like Kenny's a peasant is always somebody's other model doing things to him, and he hates that, which makes it their champion. And yours can always be counted on to be the same model. And then Aaron always has this really like, so I'm trying to find all the corners of the game, so I picked up Cradle or whatever model everybody agrees is terrible, and I've been playing her, and as it turns out, she's not a champion. Like, that's his so I love that segment. That's my first thing I was going to say. Just I love that segment.
Good. Well, thank you.
And I love the structure. Those are the two things. The structure is good, and that segment is great.
It's important that you guys had thick skin for that feedback.
Now, I just want to say what you're doing well. Criticism is something that somebody is playing with something in the background. I don't know if it's like a clicking device or like a pin or something, but there are another there are a number of episodes where it was really hard to listen to the cast because of something going on in the background, and it was just distracting. And there was a couple episodes. Some episodes were worse or better than others, so I don't know if like the, whatever device was present or not.
First few were like that. We had a couple things like that happening.
Yeah. Poor Richard. I don't know what happened in his episode, man, but his timing for all of his dialogue was way off. And so that was really just a weird episode. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Like he was like delayed.
Yeah. He was delayed by sometimes like 4 or 5 seconds. But it was unusual because he wasn't delayed for everybody. Maybe you guys just paused sometimes and he was able to complete a sentence, but there were a number of times where people started talking at the same time as him. And that was just very strange. So aside,
I might have to go look at that. I that might be an editing issue, but I'm pretty sure I synced it up correctly.
Yeah, maybe
it is the right length. It's strange because I had mentioned that to you.
He's like on a serious delay.
Mm-hmm. It's stretched sort oddly. Of. Like it'll lay some things right on top of other things with him, and then sometimes he'll be okay. So it was like spacing strangely with his.
Your computer did that when we first started.
It was the same deal.
Randomly, like you'd have this time stretching throughout the episode, and it would make your episode be off by like 20 minutes of duration. And so I had to really mangle it to get it back in.
Yeah, I think something like that was going on with his. It was the same kind of thing, but probably not as severe, so you didn't notice it.
That tends to be a hardware issue when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't unlistenable, but it was weird.
Another little technical thing, it's not that I don't appreciate that you guys go like character by character in each episode, like that doesn't really bother me, but sometimes when I'm looking at, and I know I'm looking at Spotify, so maybe if somebody's looking at iTunes or YouTube, it looks different, but I can't always tell what character you guys are going to talk to based on the tooltip or whatever, like the little text blurb that comes underneath the episode.
The notes, yeah.
And so... it's just because you hide it in something, right? So it'll say something like, Jeremy talks about how Kenny is terrible, and then all of a sudden the last word will be like, you know, Gendris or whatever. Like I'm not saying that's every episode. Some of them, like the very first word is.
So this episode in the show notes, put the main topic at the very top.
Yeah. That was just because I specifically, I went out of order because I was interested in certain characters faster than others. And so as I was going out of order, I just skipped all the episodes where I couldn't easily see what character it was in the show note. And so it wasn't until later that I realized, Bastion's was on the character I bought. I didn't know if there was a Bastion episode. And then I found out it was on the Richard episode, but
anywhere. Listed as like the main thing, and the title is always "The Gang Talks About Bastion." Maybe the title isn't getting posted correct. I don't know, man. This is
Because all I'm doing is copy and pasting the notes he gives me into the description because I don't actually listen to the episodes when I edit them.
So on Spotify it just says episode Judgment episode 11.
Okay, so is that the actual one? Or you're just giving an example.
Judgment 10. Judgment episode 9. So sometimes it doesn't say episode.
Yep.
Sometimes it
says. So just we talk about Bastion is the fourth bullet point in the notes.
So you don't actually.
I'm going to move that right now to the top.
So like Judgment episodes 5, new demon seems good, new terrain setup and map requirements, KC Judgment rank qualifier, and then it cuts off. And then the fourth thing is Laura Bella. How good is she? Was that episode about Laura Bella? Probably, I guess, but
yeah, but that wasn't intended. It's supposed to have a title. So what I'll do is I'll put "The Gang Talks About the Model" in the notes. So it'll be the first thing listed in the notes. That's easy to fix. Yeah.
Yep. So that was just a little bitty thing that I noticed I chose to listen. But just a little technical thing based upon that's how Spotify works, which is how I'm listening to everything.
I'm sure this is the best content for listeners.
No, yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, we're just giving you little technical notes.
Just cut this out.
You could
I'll think about it.
You could cut this out.
I probably will. I'm going to put in a timestamp just in case. So.
But I think I actually One thing I will say is I have come to appreciate Kenny more because of your podcast. Because if I only knew Kenny from the what he posted Discord, man, I would not like him. And I've told him that before. If he hears this, he's not going
to be
surprised.
I find it to be exactly the opposite for me.
That's true. I really like his shit posting, but I'm not a big fan.
I thought the guy was going to be amazing, and what a shithead.
Yeah, he's actually, I think almost everything he says is really calm. It's funny. Almost all the things he says in the cast are very calm and measured. He gets belligerent about things like when you guys started the segment where you specifically ask, you know, what's, what grinds his gears. Yeah. And when you open that segment, I was like, that's good. I think it's like a kitty, a posit to do that. But I don't know if it's because when I'm around Kenny in the store, he doesn't talk like he does online, like when he posts online, that is.
Yeah.
But on your podcast, Kenny's become a much more round character, I suppose, much more sympathetic character, thanks to the podcast. So I don't know if Kenny's listening or cares for that, but.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, that's, I love, like I said, I love the consistent structure. I love the champions and peasants segment the most. Good. By far. You don't need to do more of that. I think what you're doing is right on. I think
we have the exact format that we will continue with until we run out of characters, and then once we run out of characters, we will figure something out. But yeah,
I don't know, man. At the rate they're releasing characters, I don't know if you ever get caught up. They're just pumping
one
them out
per one, month,
like one every 8 months.
I'm fine with that, man. They're hard enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so the robot wars.
I only had one thing. One topic that you guys have briefly mentioned a couple times, and I would love to know, because we did an episode on it here, we did like two or three actually episodes on this cast, is you guys have talked a lot about how to start games. You have not talked a lot about how to start games, but you've mentioned it. Like Aaron said, you played against somebody who just did like 30 first rounds or something like that. They just practiced their list in a lot of different first rounds. And I don't know if you know, if you guys have just played enough games to know a lot about it, but I would love to know more insights on that. So I don't know when or how you would do that in a podcast, but that was one piece of content that you've alluded to a couple times. And every time I'm like, what is it? What should I do in the first round? What should I do? And
we're about 20 episodes from that. And we'll get right in.
Okay.
Because I do think, honestly, that it's been nice to have a pace of we're still learning things and talking about what we're learning and excited. Because I can see by the time we get done with the next 20 or whatever to catch up to all the characters at the time, we will certainly be ready. And I mean, we're ready somewhat to talk about tactics and, you know, things like that. But I think by the time we get in the next few 20 episodes or so, we'll be ready to do stuff like that and be like thoughtful and creative and everything that you need to be without being stumbling noobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Although I am going to, as much as I can, put my foot down, not this week, but next week, we're going to do I want to do Wild Speculation Corner, like the whole episode.
If you think that'll fill, I don't know.
yeah.
Okay.
I think so. We're going to argue what should be nerfed, what should be buffed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's going to be what we want from the upcoming patch.
Woof. All right. Oh, yeah. Some smoke.
I'll ask you guys about this another time, but I did want to know, as somebody who's not been in the game for a while, I do not know. You guys have talked about how you want how the developers want the game to be alive, but you haven't said what is the plan, what is the rotation, how long does it rotate. I was just curious.
Okay. Every 6 months.
Okay. And it's coming up soon, presumably.
1 June. So a month out.
1 June. Okay.
That's why I wanted to do this. And Guns has fucking ruined it because he's just like talking about them all while I'm playing him. I'm like, stop! I want to have my wild theories. I don't want to know what's going to happen yet.
Yeah. All right. Back to the robot wars. The things that people really want to know about.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, the robot is still alive. It is still functioning. I have now had many people from corporate mid-discussion go, you guys really don't like that thing, do you? And my response is, no, it's been horrible the whole time, and it's dumb. And they say, why don't you tell corporate? And I just stare at them, and they go, oh, yeah, we can't do that. So the new thing, I don't know what's going on. I haven't looked into it. But he'll go park himself in the expo station like he normally does. So basically, I always tell everybody, you guys need to take this robot out to take a shit. Because it's like taking your dogs out to go poop. He just wanders around a little bit, and then we just put him back in the hole. He does nothing productive. He doesn't actually work. But he goes. So I was like, okay, you got to take the robot out. Let's go. And then they're going, I don't know what he's doing. And I'm like, what's going on out there? And again, they're like, no, this thing's out of hand. What is happening? So now it won't even listen to our commands. We'll say, go to section one. It'll exit the door, go around the area into the dining room, won't go to section one, and then comes right back home like a bad cat, like a cat that won't listen. You're like, get off there. And the cat just kind of stares at you and then goes anyway. That's what it's doing. And I haven't investigated, but now it will not do its job anymore. It has decided it lives in the expo station, and that's where it wants to go. You've heard it, folks. The robot war has begun.
It's seeing how far it can push. It's like, you know, refusal to follow orders.
Yep. It's being passive aggressive.
Why couldn't you guys have just, like, gotten a sex bot and, like, had way more use for it?
You're assuming no one's having sex with this robot.
I guess that's fair.
I'm still dumbfounded. What?
Hey, Jeremy.
You got a joke?
What kind of doctor was Dr. Pepper?
I don't know.
He was a physician.
Aww.
Physician.
Awesome. I'm over it.
All right.
I have found... Okay, so for anyone who plays Minecraft, right? Minecraft is the weirdest game in that...
It is super weird.
So, no, seriously, it's super fucking weird. Every game I've ever played, right? You click on it. You go, okay, I want to play with my friends. You click on multiplayer and you play with your friends, right? You just enter some shit and you go. It's very, very simple. Minecraft, what in the fuck is happening? It sometimes will play with your friends. It sometimes won't. It sometimes refuses to acknowledge that the world exists. Other times, it's like, there's my friend sitting right there. Join game. Excellent. So I found out all of that shit. I bought my kids laptops, and we were trying to get all that hooked up. I finally got them to recognize each other, and it works because of Windows 10, and you can't, anyway, different versions, whatever. But everyone is spoiled that plays any other game except Minecraft when it comes to multiplayer modes. That game is fucking crazy.
Yeah. It was, like, designed before, like, all the interconnectivity was really a thing, and, like, the game is so complex, built on top of itself in layers, that it's hard to make it all work together. Because it's like multiple of them are working on different engines and stuff. The biggest one is Bedrock to Java is like almost impossible to cross that line. When it comes to Java, it's actually easy to multiplayer. It's just, I guess it's not complicated. It's just a lot of work. You have to set something up. And so, like, I used to pay for a private server hosting, and so I would just have my own server, and then people could jump on mine and join the server. And that's easy. Once you set it up, it's not hard. And the act of setting up a private server is not as hard as it sounds. It's really just, you go to a website, you put in the information you want, and you buy a server for, like, $4 a month or something. And then you just, after that, you just go log into the server on your account, make the world, and then send people the login info. And then it saves it to their, you know, UI. But yeah, it's considering, like, League of Legends and shit exists, where it's, like, amazingly complicated multiplayers that are designed to work seamlessly. It's like, yeah, it's definitely shows a bit of its age for that reason.
Yeah, I logged in. Well, I finally got them to work together, and then I finally got my PlayStation on there as well. And, like, we're all able to link and hook up and all of that. And... we're playing together, and then suddenly my boys take off for some random island, and they are like, we're going over this way. And I'm like, where are you going? I thought we were supposed to play together. So I'm just fucking over to my corner, and then they're building some fucking crazy shit on an island all by themselves. Anyway, that's life, I guess.
Yeah. You mean like when your kids abandon you?
I mean, they're twins, so they have each other. They really don't need us. They don't need anyone.
Yeah. Minecraft is awesome. I love Minecraft.
It is amazing. Every time I play it, I have fun. It's just fun.
The level of like thought and detail that's gone into that game, like to make it keep going, because it should have died a long time ago. It's such a silly little game, but it's so cool. Like the shit you can see that people do in it is just absolutely absurd. And like just in like survival mode, not even talking about like creative mode's cool. It's basically an art project in creative mode. But I remember like back in the day playing like Tony Hawk when they added the way you could build your own skate parks. And it's like, it just like took that concept of like, I'm going to build my own level and just like infinite possibilities.
I was watching stuff. My kids pulled it up on YouTube. I really didn't realize the depths that people went. Like, I understood that people built like cities and Taj Mahal and like they were going to recreate the world, like the world. But what I didn't realize is that there's like different kinds of creators. And like one kind is build giant dragons. It was the most badass thing I've ever seen. Like, just building these humongous fucking dragons that are like, you know, I don't know, 100 stories tall in Minecraft world.
Yeah, just unbelievably huge.
Yeah.
They're like, they basically go into Custom World Creator and they like hollow out the ground and drop the base floor level down.
Uh-huh.
And they have like 300 vertical blocks to play with.
Oh, I see. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And so, because they also did just, they just, the world used to be like so thick. It's amazingly wide. It's unbelievably wide, like miles and miles and miles and miles in every direction. Mm-hmm. But its vertical limit was fairly small. But an update like 2 years ago, they like quadrupled it. And so now you can go, you can have like a vertical height of like 500 blocks. And so 500 blocks is a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Like you can't even see the ground like when you're up that high.
You see the curvature of the planet, like, which is wild when you get so high.
Yeah, the telescoping that happens when you're that high up is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's a really cool concept, really cool game, and I'm glad that they have that game, especially for young people, young kids, to start and understand why games and stuff can be so cool, and you can learn and like build. Like, it's pretty neat.
Like, the shit you can just decide that you want to have as a goal and then achieve in the game is just limitless. It's so cool. One of my favorite creators is Filza. He's famous for playing on a hardcore world. So he plays in survival mode, single player, hardcore. So if he dies, his world gets deleted.
Yeah.
And he was famous for dying. And he had a world that he had been in for 5 years, solo play. 5 years he played every day. And he had built this incredible world. And then he died to a little baby zombie in a cave. And
it's like, oh, yeah, because like he couldn't hit it?
Because he didn't think he was going to die. And so, like, he was trying to get away. And then, like, more mobs kept coming in. And he just started taking damage. He's like, oh, shit, I better just run. He, like, goes to run. And he gets stuck in a corner and can't move. And then by the time he tries to actually fight the stuff, it's too late. And he just dies. It's really sad. It's Lisa's world. Like, he, like, logs off the internet for 3 days because he can't emotionally handle it. Because it's, like, such a big loss. Anyway, so he started a new world. And, like, The thing I love about Filza is he is A, entertaining, but also, like, the shit he decides to do is just crazy. He builds this, like, floating island in the sky, this huge castle on it, and, like, all these, like, waterfalls and everything. He goes and he takes every detail into account when he builds these really cool things. And so, like you wouldn't even believe the level of effort that it takes to design some of these things. Like, he built a nether void, he calls it, I think it is. He basically goes into the nether, like the lava hellscape place, and he hollows out this enormous area in it. And then he builds this like self-contained box inside of it that looks like he's in outer space. And then he like builds all these cool, like, you know, white stone castle stuff inside. It's so cool. But like it took months and months and months. That's all on his stream that you can go watch him building all this stuff. And any time he fucks up, he dies. Like, because he's like standing over lava. Like, he's like, I just die if I fall. So, and so it's like stressful and cool at the same time. Anyway. Oh, did you guys watch Fallout?
I have not yet, but it's on my list.
I think I'm 3 episodes in.
Ooh. Didn't you say you weren't sure if you were going to keep watching it?
I'm going to. Else? No, I had said I kind of stopped for a minute. It's not one that has drawn me into like a have to watch right now, but it is one that is very entertaining. I'll finish it.
After conferring with some people that did play the games, because I'm not a Fallout person, I've never played any of the games. There is a lot of non-scripted stuff that happens. So,
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I have played several of the games, and I love the world. I'm one of the Fallout might be the game I completed the most in terms of open world RPGs. Like, I think I went to every location in Fallout 3, and like, I've done a lot of Fallout, and so yeah. I am excited about it. My brother, who's also a big Fallout fan, we did it together when we were younger.
Everything I know about the series, I should like it. I never got around to playing it. I'm one of those people, it's hard for me to invest that much time in a video game because I got so much other shit going on. And I know once I start it, I'll just get absorbed into it, so I kind of just avoid them.
The VATS system is, to me, still the best system ever integrated into an RPG. Like, the single best concept. Such a cool concept.
It made it the most friendly sandbox adventure game I've ever played. Like, because of the VAT system. You were like, okay, I can upgrade this and I can actually use it when it's upgraded. I don't have to worry so much about using a controller or a mouse keyboard and do all this. Because, like, Fallout 3 and 4 are, like, basically shooters, adventure shooters, kind of. But yeah, I really enjoyed all of the Fallouts. I've got a PlayStation 4 so I could get Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I own New Vegas. I've just never played it. So I installed it after watching the show, and I'll see if I can get any free time to jump in there and see if I like it.
New Vegas is a polarizing one to me because some people absolutely love New Vegas. My brother thought New Vegas was amazing. And I gave it a B minus for Fallouts, which is still a really, fun game. I just, it was.
So, what's your favorite. Biggest fault with New Vegas? What did you like the least?
It was just the plot. Like it really was.
Okay.
Because it wasn't the gameplay. Like, the gameplay is pretty Fallout, and it's not bad. My brother loved the setting, the California setting, because that it's talked about a lot in the extended fluff from the RPG, the original one. And so he really loves the California setting and the Nevada setting. Like, he just loves that part of it. And that part was cool, no doubt. But just the plot is a lot less exciting and interesting. Okay. So
that's fun because I've heard the exact opposite review from everybody else. They said that the plot in New Vegas was the best plot they've ever had.
Oh, I did not think so.
No, that's fine. You obviously can disagree. I don't know, so I guess we'll see.
And I will definitely say this for anybody out there who's getting mad at me. The plot in New Vegas is still like in a tier above the plots of most RPGs in video games. Like, it's still like I put Fallout in its own like separate category in terms of really excellent, fun to play plots. They're just oodles. They're just covered with them, and they're all A tier. I just thought New Vegas was, like I said, I give it a B plus in Fallouts because it's my least favorite. But
cool. All right, you guys ready to light this fire?
My Always. Fire's lit.
Well, I guess we'll see, won't we?
We won't. Will we see?
Nobody liked that title.
It was
I liked it. I smiled.
I'll give it a half stock.
Alrighty. You guys ready for some mojoing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I missed out last week, so, like, I am totally ready.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You weren't here for Brad Pitt. So here's another actor. Here we go. This is why I did this.
What All right, everybody. Separation?
Do we do both?
This week's Mojo World is...
Matt Damon.
We did it. All right, now, can we count that as one of the movies?
No, because he's not actually in that movie. But
I'm calling it.
If it is possible, then you got that. I'm actually changing my topic to Matt Damon movies except Team America: World Police. That's a classic Aaron move, for those of you who haven't listened to the last podcast. Yeah, it's a
classic Aaron veto move.
Oh, no. I love that Aaron move. I listened to the podcast again, and I was like, man, I was there for that, and what bullshit that I didn't realize was going on. It was late at night for me to allow that to happen.
So we didn't. It literally didn't happen.
Oh, no, it happened. We allowed him to say Models besides, I don't remember what the whole movie was.
It was seven, and then he picked it.
That's right. I know.
That was the joke. All right, we're moving on. Jeremy, you have first pick for Matt Damon.
Oh, my
movies.
God. I'm not going to win this because I'm just not. So I'm going to pick the one that I actually like, and I'm not trying.
That's how this is supposed to work.
I know, but it's unfortunate. There's so many good ones. My favorite on his whole list is The Departed. Fucking awesome movie. He's awesome. It's just great.
We got a lot of hate for not taking that on whatever we did previously.
Brad Pitt?
Anyway.
What? He's not in
No,
there.
Brad Pitt's not. He's not as hard.
It wasn't Brad Pitt. It was one before that.
Oh,
I can't remember what it was.
Gangster one or something.
It was one that The Departed fit in, and it was, but we didn't pick it. All right. God, this is going to suck, because I know exactly what's going to happen next. No, I'm doing it. I'm calling it Dogma. Dogma.
That was on my list. Okay.
Dagma.
Fuck you, Aaron. Fuck
fucking
you.
Fucking hate you.
This is your seven.
Just to spite me.
Mm-hmm. Noah, it's not my favorite movie on the list, but I knew it wasn't coming back. So
nope.
I took it.
Definitely not coming back. Wasn't even getting to Parker. Mm-hmm. Good Will Hunting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Parker, you got a double dose of the Damon.
I'm so amazed that none of these were taken. I'm taking Interstellar and Thor Ragnarok.
I forgot he was in Interstellar.
Yeah, he's
Thor Ragnarok was on my list.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, pick number two.
Saving Private Ryan.
Ooh, it happened. That was good. That was on my list. But my number one pick got back to me. The Martian.
Oh, okay. I was on my list too. So was...
Yeah, I forgot about Interstellar. They both would have been on my list.
Yeah.
All right. Jeremy, your final two picks.
Nice. All right. Rounders got back to me, so I will select
that.
Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it. And I will choose Ocean's 13. That's my favorite of those.
Nice.
I agree. That's my favorite too.
We're at the point of the draft that I like to call the rump, which is the second snake.
The asshole of the draft.
The rump.
We call it the snake's knee.
The hell's anus.
Yeah. All right, let's see. We got, most of these are gone. All right, well, if we're going to say you can't choose Team America, I'm going to go with Oppenheimer.
Lame.
Oh, I forgot he was in that.
He's in a lot of that.
Yeah, I know. I just forgot.
He's probably the second most screen time character.
I know. I don't know why.
Alrighty,
I think of that.
Aaron, final pick.
The Bourne Identity.
Yeah, that was my next one.
Yep.
All right, Parker. What's that final little dash?
I'm going to go. We never talk about Westerns. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite, True Grit. I love True Grit.
That was with Jeff Bridges, right?
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. This is a good, solid roster right here. I mean, other than Jeremy's, obviously. But...
Shut up.
You are shit piece.
I only have one honorable mention, and it's Elysium. I like the movie Elysium.
That movie looked really bad from the previews, but I've heard a lot of people say it's good.
Yeah, it does. It does not look good until you watch it. You're like, wow, that was really, really good.
All I can think of anytime I see like a clip from Elysium is like, man, I should watch District 9 again. That's all I can think about the
right.
whole time.
Because of course, there are a couple, like the setting looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the, Charlto Copley. I can never remember his name. He is in both of those movies, of course. But his character, Kruger, is one of the coolest bad guys in any movie ever. He, honestly, I don't... Like, the story is fine, but in Elysium, yeah, Charlto Copley plays the bad guy, and man, it is. He is one terrifying guy. Super cool.
I have an honorable mention here, and this is just... It's unbelievable that these two people are in this fucking movie. And if you haven't watched it in a while, you want a shock and awe of how that movie got made. how the fuck is it possible that they did Stuck on You? And how inappropriate and crazy that fucking movie is. It's a...
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god. He's a conjoined twin.
Oh, that's with right.
With Rob Lowe. And it's done.
What?
It's no, with done
Greg
by the...
With Greg Kinnear.
Oh, it is Greg Kinnear. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was Rob Lowe. Oh my god. It is the most inappropriate, crazy shit. And it's done by the those brothers that did like Dumb and Dumber and stuff, I believe.
Bobby Farrelly, yeah, the Farrelly brothers, yeah. Bobby and Peter Farrelly. Huh.
This is definitely before he like became famous Matt Damon.
No, because he was super famous after Good Will Hunting, actually. And that was 16.
Well, right, but he was still doing like the silly Miramax movies with like the what's his name?
Matt Damon.
Kevin Smith. He's still doing the Kevin Smith movies and stuff. Before he got like really serious.
But yeah, that movie is crazy.
This looks interesting.
It's funny.
Good. Dang it! I had a Parker. I got a fun little note for you. The most recent meal I've learned to make is chicken teriyaki from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. I think I'm gonna do that. I think I posted it in the channel, but I'm gonna do that for D&D.
Hold on, that was not the setup to a Jeremy dad joke?
Or is it?
it's long.
It's a really long setup.
This is a long setup.
First, I play Web Warriors. Second, he discusses chicken teriyaki. Third, anyone's guess.
Dad joke.
Anyone's guess. Dad joke. I actually have had several people tell me dad jokes for you, but they always tell me on like Monday, and I always forget by the time we record.
Son of a bitch.
If you have dad jokes, please send them to me via messenger program so that I can write them down.
And no, thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's put Aaron to bed. It's time for he needs
Aaron, you're going bed. Aaron's past your bedtime. All right, I got one more.
Oh god.
Jeremy, did you know that I like my women like I like my coffee? Secretly alcoholic.
Okay, that was cute.
That was good. That was really good. That was worth it. Our hearts all sank when you said one more, and then you didn't disappoint us at all. Well done.
Yeah, I'm all right with that one.
All right, everybody. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Good night.
See ya.